Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast, Supplemental Jurisdiction, Tolling, and Non-Federal Claims Edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On January 22, 2018, the Supreme Court decided Artis v. District of Columbia, a case concerning the scope of the tolling language contained in the Federal Supplemental Jurisdiction Statute, Title 28 of the United States Code, Section 1367D. When a federal court dismisses the only claim serving as the basis for its exercise of jurisdiction, it ordinarily also dismisses, without resolving, any related non-federal claims that were part of the same case or controversy. Should the plaintiff wish to refile and pursue those claims in state court, questions may arise as to how any applicable statutes of limitations would apply. The language of Section 1367D provides that such statutes of limitations shall be tolled while the claim is pending and for a period of 30 days after it is dismissed, unless state law provides for a longer tolling period. In 2011, Stephanie Artis filed suit against D.C. in federal district court, alleging unlawful termination in violation of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1967, along with various other claims arising under D.C. statutes and the common law. The district court granted D.C. judgment on the pleadings and dismissed Artis's sole federal claim under Title VII in 2014. 59 days later, Artis refiled those claims in D.C. Superior Court. D.C. responded with a motion for dismissal on the grounds that the claims were time-barred based on the relevant statutes of limitations plus 1367D. The Superior Court agreed, and the D.C. Court of Appeals affirmed that judgment, concluding that 1367D does not stop the clock on state statutes of limitations from the time of an unsuccessful federal filing until 30 days after dismissal, but rather merely creates a 30-day grace period for a claimant to refile his or her claims elsewhere. The U.S. Supreme Court thereafter granted Artis's petition for certiorari to resolve a split among state Supreme Courts regarding the proper interpretation of 1367D. By a vote of 5-4, the Supreme Court reversed the judgment of the D.C. Court of Appeals and remanded the case. In an opinion delivered by Justice Ginsburg, the court rejected the grace period reading and held that 1367D's instruction to toll a state limitations period means to hold it in abeyance, in essence, to stop the clock. Justice Ginsburg's majority opinion was joined by the Chief Justice and Justices Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. Justice Gorsuch filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justices Kennedy, Thomas, and Alito. And now, to discuss the case, we have Misha Zalin, Solicitor General of Wisconsin.
Artis involves a concept known as supplemental jurisdiction. What supplemental jurisdiction is, let's say you have a federal claim that you want to file in federal court under federal law. But that claim arises out of events that also give rise to state law claims. State law claims against perhaps the same defendant arising out of some of the same facts. Oftentimes, you can bring those state law claims under state law in federal court as a supplemental jurisdiction to your federal claims. Now, a difficulty arises in the supplemental jurisdiction context if, after a certain period of time, the federal court dismisses your federal claim. This will usually lead the court also to dismiss your state law claim. But of course, the federal and state law claims may have been pending in federal court for 1, 2, 3 years or longer, so the state law claim might have had its state law statute of limitations expire, such that it would otherwise be too late to refile that claim in state court. Even if the state law claim had not been dismissed from federal court on the merits, but rather dismissed just because the federal claim had been dismissed. Congress sought to cure this problem by enacting a specific statute to deal with this issue. And I'm going to read the text of the statute here with just some minor adjustments for comprehensibility. The statute provides that, quote, the period of limitations for any state law claim joined with the claim within federal jurisdiction shall be tolled while the claim, that state law claim, is pending in federal court and for a period of 30 days after dismissal, unless the state law provides for a longer tolling period. Now, Artis involves a dispute about two possible different interpretations of this language. The first interpretation, urged by the District of Columbia, by some lower courts, and by a bipartisan coalition of many states in an amicus brief led by the state of Wisconsin, is that the statute merely provides that the state law limitations period shall not expire and adds a 30 days period thereafter. So let's say you filed your federal claim with some state law supplemental claims with a year left on your statute of limitations. And let's say your claim is pending in federal court for a couple of years before it is dismissed along with the state law claim. So your state law limitations period would have otherwise expired, but the statute keeps the statute of limitations from expiring and gives you an extra 30 days thereafter to refile your claim in state court so you don't lose your claim. The other interpretation, the one urged by Artis, the plaintiff in this case, and adopted by some lower courts, is what's known as a stop clock interpretation. Under that interpretation, if you had the 1 year when you originally filed left on your state law limitations period, and even if your federal claim is pending for 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 years, when that state law claim is dismissed from the supplemental jurisdiction case also being dismissed, you will then still have a year to refile in state courts and 30 days on top of that. Now, at the U.S. Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, with the majority opinion written by Ruth Bader Ginsburg and joined by the Chief Justice John Roberts, Justice Breyer, Justice Elena Kagan, and Justice Sonia Sotomayor, adopted that stop clock interpretation. Their reasoning was largely based upon the notion that the statute that I read to you earlier has a concept of tolling, and they said that stop clock is the common understanding of tolling. So from that perspective, the majority interpretation is just a somewhat straightforward reading of the word tolling, and it wouldn't seem to have broad implications. But as the dissenting opinion written by Justice Neil Gorsuch on behalf of Justice Kennedy, Justice Alito, and Justice Thomas makes clear, this case has important federalism implications, and ones that are deleterious from the point of view of those who think respecting states' rights, states' autonomy, and states' authority over state law causes of action in state courts are an important consideration. Now, recall that there were two possible interpretations. There was the stop clock interpretation that the Supreme Court majority adopted, and then there's the interpretation that is much more modest, that basically the statute just keeps the state law claim from expiring. What Justice Gorsuch explained in his dissenting opinion is that that second interpretation puts a lot less burden on federal-state relations. That is to say, that interpretation of the statute basically assigns to Congress the modest goal of stopping state law claims from completely expiring. It does not, as the Supreme Court majority's interpretation would require, potentially extends statute of limitations for many years without any meaningful federal interest. So what we have at the end of the Artis decision is, on one level, a straightforward statutory case, but on a deeper level, as Justice Gorsuch pointed out in his dissent, a troubling disregard for federalism principles. The adoption of one textually possible reading of a federal statute that puts a great burden on states and extends states' statutes limitations potentially for many years, while rejecting another also textually possible statute of limitations, which would put a lot less burden on the states. We here in Wisconsin hope that this is not a broader theme that will go across many other cases of statutory interpretation, and that the Supreme Court will, in future cases, honor the canon of statutory construction, that when one interpretation places a great burden on states and another interpretation places a lesser burden on states, that the courts will, in the future, as they have in some cases in the past, adopt the interpretation that places a lower burden on states.
thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. SCOTUS Cast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUS Cast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play, for an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events. Please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.